invite you to turn your attention in your heart to Psalm 23. We've been going through the Psalm verse by verse, and I pray that this manner will enable us to appreciate more of the power and the wealth that is in the 23rd Psalm. We have been looking at verses 1 through 3, and today we're going to be focusing on verse 4, which is, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We pray that as we look at this psalm, even if it is just one verse, God would have a way of speaking to us, deepening and enriching our understanding and experience of Him. So before we proceed, we're going to be reading the psalm together, just four verses, and I know that some of us are already prepared to memorize and recite the first four verses of Psalm 23, because they've been practicing it. But before we do that, let's come to the Lord and let's ask Him to be our teacher in our midst. So join me in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for guiding us through another verse in Psalm 23. We acknowledge that we are your students. Give us an eagerness to learn. Give us a hunger for your word. And give us, Father God's listening ears, obedient hearts, and joyful attitudes. And we pray that the Lord Jesus, our teacher, will be speaking to each and every one of us. May His name be honored, and may His church, His people, be edified. In His name we pray, amen. Our focus today is on verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It talks about fear. It talks about overwhelming anxiety, danger, whether perceived or false. And that is the experience of every human being. Almost every child experiences this. That is, you know, in their early days, the fear of sleeping alone in the dark, in a room, or by themselves. I remember when I was old enough, you know, at a very early age, to have my own room, just, you know, all to myself. And the first few evenings were uncomfortable and a little bit scary because, you know, I was supposed to turn off the lights. I was supposed to go to bed, you know, just by myself in that room. But the only comforting thought was that, you know, there are other family members, you know, in the next rooms. And that was what carried me through. Almost every child experiences that. The fear of having to go to bed at night, in the dark, in their own room, by themselves. Fear, anxiety, worry, trials, sufferings. We know what it is like. Sometimes the fear is not real. Sometimes it is. Sometimes both the fear or the danger and the danger are real. Then there are times when the fear and the danger are so overwhelming that we feel powerless. Maybe when there is an illness or financial need. Maybe as parents, we have a child in some kind of trouble. And maybe at work we know or we sense that, you know, someone is out to get us. Or maybe we're struggling with school or at work. Or that we are about to have our first child. These are difficult and trying moments. But it doesn't matter what kind of fear or anxiety we are going through. God offers us a solution. But know that when God offers us a solution, He does not always necessarily remove the fear or the danger, real or imaginary. When God gives us a way out, God makes sure that, you know, He brings to bear on our lives the presence of the shepherd. This is what God's solution, God's remedy is like. Not the absence of danger. The danger, the concern, the fear, the trial may still be there. However, even though it is there, more presence and more pressing is the presence of the shepherd. So this is what Psalm 23 verse 4 is about. Not so much talking about the absence of trials, but rather it assures us and convinces us of the presence and power of the great and loving shepherd. So David could say that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. You know, back in David's time when he had to pasture, when he had to tend, you know, the sheep under his care, he and other shepherds would have to move the flock from pasture to pasture by way of the valley. That's how they would traverse. They would not move by the hill because the valley was the easiest road to traverse. And the valleys oftentimes have the most well-watered routes. So in the valley, it is easy to find good pastures. But he also knows that going through the valley, passing through the valley, oftentimes would expose the flock and the shepherds to dangers of all kinds. For instance, storms, mudslides, flash floods, and also there are robbers waiting to attack them. And then there are the natural predators preying on the animals. In fact, David knew the terrain very well. And yet, he says in the opening words of verse 4, even though I walk through the valley, even though I walk through the valley. It is interesting how David, you know, kind of described his experience through the valley. He didn't say he was running. He didn't say he was, you know, rushing. He said, even though I walk. It doesn't seem to be that he was taking his time, but he definitely was not hurrying through. The reason that he wasn't afraid, even though he knew all kind of dangers were lurking in the valley, was because he knew that he was not going to stay or live in the valley forever. He wasn't going to linger there for eternity. The valley was just a pathway to higher grounds, to greener pastures. So learning from the experience of David, we know that we as believers, we as God's people, are bound to have valleys from time to time for every one of us. There is no exception. It is going to happen. When David talks about the valley of the shadow of death, he does not mean just the possibility of facing death. He has in mind of any kind of difficult experience in life, anything that is unknown, threatening, or dangerous. Jesus told us many times, in very clear terms, that, you know, we are going to have valleys. So in John chapter 16, Jesus warned the disciples and all those who would follow him, if you are going to be a believer, you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, be prepared. Why? Because in this world, you will have tribulations. You will have sufferings. And people are going to persecute you. You are going to encounter difficulty and awkward moments and trials just because of the fact that you are a believer. And Psalms 34 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of those people who want to follow God, who want to do right by God. So there are valleys for every believer. It doesn't matter who you are. Most Christians don't like valleys. I have to be honest with you. I don't prefer valleys. We want to go from one mountaintop to another mountaintop. But very often in Christian life, it doesn't work that way. But yet it is good for us to realize and to remember that between two mountaintops, the two mountaintops are connected by the valley. That's normal. You know, before we dismiss the valleys too quickly as believers, we want to remind ourselves that sometimes valleys can be the very most precious places of encounter with God. Oftentimes, the valley has the greenest pastures. Oftentimes, in the valley, you would find the shadow and the presence of the shepherd most visible. And Christians have reaped, experienced more joy in the valley than they have experienced on the mountaintop. And if we are honest, as believers, we have experienced, learned more about God in the valley than we have learned up on the hillside. So valleys are inevitable, but valleys are not necessarily bad. There's no reason for us as Christians to fear the valleys of life if we understand and apply the solution God gives to us. Verse 24, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? David says, for you, God, the God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the savior of my life, you are with me. Note that, you know, even for David, a person who has known and experienced God for a long time, David did not say that God has ever promised him or anyone that as believers we won't have dangers, concerns, and fears. But what God has promised is that he's going to be there with us. He'll stay with us. In verse 2, we know that God's promise to his sheep, to his pasture, to his flock, is the restoration of our souls. In verse 3, God's promise is that of guidance and leading. And here in verse 4, the promise of God has to do with protection. God protects his people. He protects his flock. You know, sheep are very timid, easily scared. But yet, together with their shepherds, they can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The only reason for that is because they know. They know that their shepherd is with them. So it doesn't matter what kind of danger is lurking in the background. As long as the shepherd is there, they can relax. They can have confidence and they can have trust. As believers, I want us to know more and more that God offers us that very same kind of security and protection. God promises to be with us. And we need to understand that. We need to take hold of his word and we need to keep believing in him. That is, when we find that we are holding on to the promise of God, that moment you will begin to experience more power and more joy in Jesus Christ. How has God promised to be with us? Many places. Jesus says, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And in Hebrews, the author says, this is from God, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So therefore, as a result of these verses, we can boldly say to ourselves and to other people, I'm not going to fear what other human being may do to me. Why? Because Jesus is here with me. And the prophet Isaiah also echoed the same promise. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not, I'm with you. That is a promise of God. Throughout the ages, when individuals have been overwhelmed, fearful, discouraged, beaten, whenever they turn to God, you know what God would say to them? Many examples in scriptures, such as the example of Abraham, Genesis chapter 26. God told Abraham not to be afraid because God was with him. God would walk him through. God told Jacob, when God commanded Jacob to make good with Esau, Jacob has been lying and cheating and taking advantage of his older brother Esau for a long, long time, ever since he was growing up. And now the time has come for Jacob to turn over a new leaf, to be a true brother. He needs to meet his brother Esau face to face. He needs to ask him for forgiveness. Jacob was ready to do it, but there was a part of him that was very fearful. He wasn't quite sure whether his older brother was willing to forgive him. After all, it has been many years, and he's done a lot of bad things to him. But as Jacob was wrestling and committing this whole thing to God, God told him not to be fearful. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And many of us, you know, remember the story about Moses leading the people of Egypt into the promised land. And Moses sent out, you know, a couple of spies to scout out the land. And this is Caleb's answer. When the people were discouraged, when they were planning to turn back and look for other kinds of promised land not from God, Caleb stood up and told the people, do not fear the people of the land. Why? Caleb's answer was that, because the Lord God is with us. And perhaps you remember reading the story of King Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat and the inhabitants of Jerusalem was surrounded by huge invading armies. They were outnumbered, and the only outcome was surrender. The other outcome was death. So Jehoshaphat and the people in Jerusalem came to pray before God, and God told him not to be afraid. God told him that it doesn't matter what is going to happen, I'm going to be with you. And remember, I want you, the king, to remember, the battle does not belong to you. The battle belongs to the Lord Almighty. So from all these verses, we know that it doesn't matter what we are going through today or maybe tomorrow. Doesn't matter how rough it is, how perplexing, how difficult it may be. God offers the same promise to every one of us who turn to him. And what is that promise? I am with you. I am with you. So do not be afraid. Do not be too overwhelmed. If right now you are faced with a difficult time in your life. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. And David goes on to say, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What it means is that, you know, God has the tools he needs. He needs the equipment he needs to finish the job. God can handle everything. What are God's rod and staff? You might see in a picture drawn by, you know, a child. The rod, there are two pieces of equipment that ancient shepherds carry with them. The rod is a club-like weapon. Sometimes there will be nails, you know, at one end of it. And shepherd would practice swinging the club with precision so that, you know, they would aim at the attacking animals. The rod was never meant for the sheep, but for attacking enemies. Sheep knows that as long as the shepherd has a rod in his hand, they are saved. And he also has a second piece of equipment, the staff. It is a long pole with a little crook at the top. And this is what shepherd used to rescue the sheep and pull them out of, you know, awkward places. When they're in trouble, the shepherd would extend the staff and then hook it out. This is an important part of the shepherd's protection. Not only does the rod comfort, the staff comforts too. Because it means that, you know, whenever we get ourselves into trouble, God says, turn to me. I'll offer you again my solution of protection. What does all this have to do with us today? One, God promises to be with us. He protects us, and he's able to do so. Therefore, we can trust him. If we walk away with anything at all from verse 4, I trust that it was the message that, you know, we need to and we can keep trusting the Lord. Psalms 56, the psalmist says, when I am afraid, when I'm inundated, I put my trust in you. Isaiah says the same thing. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And remember Jesus' assurance to the people? Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid, little flock. That is an interesting way of addressing those who believe in him. Jesus knows that we're going to be afraid. We're going to be facing difficulty from time to time, challenges. But Jesus says, little flock, do not be afraid. God promises his presence and deliverance. The secret to making it ours is to acknowledge, accept, and trust him. I have to be honest with you. Knowing and even memorizing verse 4 is not going to do us a lot of good. It is accepting and practicing it, taking it to heart, that makes the difference. If we're not going to trust God, even though we may recite and memorize Psalm 23 verse 4 over and over again, it's not going to make a lot of difference for us. When God says He'll protect us, He'll lead us, He'll restore us, He'll watch over us, God trusts that. We would also accept His offers. You may be concerned, you may be scared, you may be perplexed, but God says, remember, I am with you, always. But probably, you know, the biggest valley of the shadow of death from which Jesus delivered us is the valley of sin and spiritual death. Jesus knew that the moment we were born into the world, each and every one of us were born in sins. We were spiritually alienated from God. We may want to know God, but we didn't quite know how to do it. We were dead people, spiritually speaking. And Jesus says, you know, even though you were walking through the spiritual valley of the shadow of death, Jesus, the great shepherd, came along. He saw that we needed help. So with His staff, He brought us back to His fold. He made us His children. He gave us forgiveness. He gave us eternal life. And He gave us all the promises in the Scriptures. Psalms 23 may be very familiar to many of us. But if we do not store it in our hearts, it is not going to do any good at all. But when we store it in our hearts, I pray that not only would we thank God for His deliverance, but especially we thank God for life eternal in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this life, this gospel is meant to be shared with those who have yet to know the Lord Jesus. Enjoying God's protection is one thing, but sharing the news of God's protection, including spiritual protection, is a responsibility and a privilege that God has given to every believer. As we remember the Lord Jesus, by way of the cup and also of the wafer, let us come before God, asking Him to accept our thanksgiving for what Jesus has done on the cross for us, but also asking God to accept our surrender so that He can use us however He pleases. So, before we close in prayer, I said earlier on, we're going to read the first four verses, and then some of us, you know, are able to recite it. Let's do that right now. Let's go back to verse 1, but if you need to look at the screen, by all means, all right? Whether in Chinese or in English, I would encourage you to read or to recite the Word of God with confidence, with faith, and also aloud. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yes. Good. All right. This is great. Okay. Ready? Go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He restores my soul. For His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Very good. So if you are still not quite sure about, you know, memorizing Psalm 23, I would encourage you to do it. There is power and there's joy in the Word of God. So let's now come in thanksgiving and also in surrender to the Lord Jesus, who is right here in our midst, presiding over His table. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You because You are already here. We thank You for blessing us with this precious promise of Your guidance, Your restoration, and now in verse 4, of Your protection. Thank You for caring for us so much. Thank You, O Lord, that You know we can find God ourselves. And therefore, You have come into this world to prepare a way for us so that we can be reconciled to God and become His children. And thank you that, O Lord, you promise to protect us, to lead us and watch over us each and every day. We pray for ourselves, and especially those among us or those we know who carry a burden, who are facing a very difficult moment in life right now. We pray that they may know the joy and the certainty of your provision and your protection. Help them to come before you and help them to experience in no uncertain way your power to save, to restore, and to bring joy and healing. We pray for those in need. We pray for those that we mention in our prayers, in our bulletins, in our conversations. And we pray, O Lord, that to each and every one of your children, the promise of your presence and guidance and protection would be all the more greater and deeper every day. So thank you, O Lord Jesus, for loving us to the point that you died for us on the cross. And as we remember you, humble us and use us as part of your army to do the work of the kingdom. For we desire to exalt you and to follow you. This we pray in the awesome and victorious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.